Thank you, Alan. Good morning, everyone. There's a lot of Christmas jumpers already. What is wrong with you people? No, I've changed. I've actually bought a tie with a small white snowflake on it. I'm a different man. Yeah. I'm going to read to you this morning from Luke's Gospel and from chapter 1, and I'm just going to read these words to you. You don't need to look them up, but this was Zechariah. This is John the Baptist's dad who's speaking, and he's so excited about his little boy being born because he knows that Jesus is coming as well. And he says, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God." Because of the tender mercy of our God. Now, I want some honesty this morning. How many of you sing in the car? That's quite a lot of people. You as well, David? Hope there's nobody else there. No, sorry. It's a wonderful thing to sing in the car. And the other day, I had to make a phone call to my boss across in the States, and he's in Dallas, Texas. And I phoned up, and he wasn't in. And I left a message, and then I hung up. And as I was driving along, I sang, "What kind of love is this that gave itself for me, that I, the guilty one, may go free?" And a voice said, "That is the end of your available message space." "Thank you for your message. Have a nice day." I still don't know whether he got it or not, but you know, the sentiment is true. At Christmas time, we've got cause to sing, not just in the car, but to give God praise of the greatest gift. You'll have picked up the message, the theme for this morning. What kind of love is this that gave itself for me? That same little baby that we worship in the manger is the one who went to the cross to pay for our sins and make it possible for us to reconnect with God. Oh, this young lady wants to share. Can you ask her what it is? Yes, that's right. Thank you very much. So it was Jesus in the manger, and it was Jesus on the cross. What's wrong with this picture? This is a genuine advert. And it says up there, a free gift of your choice worth up to $150 with any purchase of $35. What's your immediate reaction? Yeah, right. I remember there was a lecturer who was speaking in a Scottish university, and he said, "I've heard a double negative being used as a positive, but I've never heard a double positive used as a negative." Your children, are you following this? And a Glaswegian at the back said, "Aye, right." And that is our natural reaction when we see something where you think, are they going to genuinely give me a $150 present free if I just spend $35? There's a problem, you see. As soon as somebody seems to be offering you something for nothing, you feel a little bit suspicious. Alison and I took the family across for a holiday in Crete. And at the time, my girls would have been 17 and 15, something like that. And there was a shop up in the mountains in the middle of nowhere, and it was selling perfumes at prices you have never seen before. Well, my girls were very, very excited. Chanel number 5, priced at only 8 euros. So I quietly said to the man that ran the shop, I said, "Are these genuine?" He said, "No." He said, but they're very good for the price. And Heather made up a song that we sang all the way home. Up in the hills was a lonely con man. I can't believe I just sang that out loud in church. That's the last time I'll do a solo in church, I promise. I'll do a duet with David. So, here's the general rule that we apply. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And some of you have had these phone calls, you know, you've been specially selected to buy our double glazing at only half price. And you think, thank you very much, and you put the phone down. Or in my case, you don't say thank you very much, you just put the phone down. If someone seems nice, can we trust them? If somebody trying to do a deal for you, and you just think, I'm not so sure. Alan, could you change the slide for me, pal? Okay, I think you can genuinely trust people when there's real love involved. Now, Alison had the privilege a couple of years ago of going with Danny and the team to go and do the handing out of the shoeboxes. And the reaction from people was really quite powerful. Grown men in tears. Older people who wouldn't have got a Christmas present any other way, so emotional and so grateful for a lovely gift given to them. And they did believe it because they could genuinely detect that there was love behind it. And that's why we don't need to be suspicious about the wonderful gift that God has given us at Christmas, because there's real love behind it. God loved the world that he gave his only son. Next slide. Now, Saul of Tarsus was a man who you can only describe as a religious fanatic. He hated Jesus, and he hated Jesus' followers, and he hounded Christians to their death, and he had others put in jail. And you think, is this the sort of man that's ever going to become a Christian? Well, God even loved Saul of Tarsus. And one day he spoke to Saul of Tarsus, and Saul became a Christian. He encountered Jesus, he received forgiveness, and he became a true Christian, a true believer. God's love extends to everybody. And Saul of Tarsus once wrote, "It's a true and faithful saying that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst," he said. And such is the love of God. I'm going to try this again. Oh. This is what he wrote years later. He said, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, made us alive together with Christ, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God." It's all about love. It's the greatest gift, it's a genuine gift, it's a free gift, and it goes beyond that. When Mary and Joseph had that little baby boy in Bethlehem, can anybody tell me, preferably under the age of 12, can anybody tell me who were the first to come and see the baby? Yes, Izzy. That's right. It was shepherds that came to see. Now, in the Bible, we're told that he had two sets of visitors. There was a group of shepherds, but there was also another group that came to see him. Do you know who the other ones were? Yeah. Correct. So we had shepherds and we had wise men that came to see Jesus. Now, I think that's really encouraging, because you think of these shepherds, this was a gift for the poor. And you think of the wise men, this was a gift for the rich. You think of the shepherds, it was for those who were nearby. They were just in the fields, right next to where Jesus was born. And it was for people who were far away. The wise men are interesting people. They were called the Magi. Now, we read about the Magi in the Old Testament. Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were Magi. They were the wise men that served in the court of Babylon. And obviously, they had an influence on other wise men, and some of them took to believing in God. And this would have been some of the descendants of these wise men. Now, there's a piece missing. We don't know how it was they were told in advance that a star would tell them when the Messiah was born. But anyway, a star was going to tell them, and they followed the star, and they came all the way from probably the Arabian Gulf somewhere. And not only that, but this was a message for the future, that this was a gift for the Jews, which the shepherds would have been, the shepherds that looked after the fields in Bethlehem. I just learned recently from Les Sargent, that was the area where the shepherds looked after the sheep that were going to be the sacrifices in the temple. That land belonged to the temple and was run for that reason. And so the shepherds would have been poor, they were nearby, they were Jews, and the wise men were rich, they were from far away, and they were for the Gentile. They were Gentile people, they weren't Jewish people. So this gift then, it's genuine. It's motivated by the love that God has for us. It's for the rich and for the poor. It's for those who are far away and those who are near. It's for the very worst of sinners and those that we think that they're good as well. It's for the Jews and for the Gentiles. This is the whole point about Christmas, that the gift is for everybody. Nobody's left out. When that little baby Jesus was born, he was born for you. Now, I'm saying that to you as if the church was empty and there was just you sitting there. When that baby was born, he was born for you, so that one day he would die for you and you could be given the greatest gift of all, the gift of eternal life and the love of God in your life forever. What a wonderful, wonderful message we have to share every Christmas. The message is for all. I'll leave you with my song in the car. What kind of love is this that gave itself for me? We're going to sing, "See Him Lying in a Bed."